All right. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20. It's there on your screen, verses 19 through 21. That's where we're going to be at today, our message here. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. All right. All right. Let me get a couple of things here. Well, today we're going to be talking about the international church. Today's a day of prayer for the persecuted church around the world. We know that we are part of the big church, right? The big C church, right? With the brothers and sisters around the world that know Jesus and follow him. And so today we're going to be talking about going out and being a witness, but we're going to be talking about what does it look like for God to send you and me out, and what does it look like when he sends out other believers across the world, whether you're in Africa or South America or Europe or Asia. What does that look like when he sends us out on a mission, on an assignment as his ambassadors here. At the end of the message, we're going to have, you probably noticed up here, we have some things up here, and so we're going to, for this month, we have our map up here of the persecuted church. This year, we're focusing over more in the middle section, the 1040 window of the world, it's called, and so we'll be talking about that here for the next several weeks. At the end of service, we got some things for you up here when we pray. We have a little handout here. You can write on here. You can put this in your Bible as a Bible reminder and write down the name of someone that here locally you want to tell about Jesus. We've got some Bible markers with ways to pray for the persecuted church and pastors around the world and believers around the world. You can grab one of those. If you want a prayer journal, that's a kind of a worldwide prayer journal, a free one, you can fill this out, put it in the mail. It's already self-addressed, and they'll send you a really nice prayer journal for all the different nations of the world that are up here. On this map, and kind of the history of the country, some demographics, statistics, and then how to pray for them. So that's a free thing you can put in the mail. And then right here we have letters for you to fill out, and we've got stamps and envelopes. But this is a list of all of our missionaries that are in hostile countries. And our missionaries that are on here are in some of these countries right now in this section of the world. And so you can mail them or email them a letter of encouragement, a prayer, a word for them, a thought, just to, and so we put those up here. And kids can do that, youth can do that, but if you want to send them something, they're up here. And so we'll have that. For parents in the room, we have a guide. If you need to talk to your children about the persecuted church, if you're kind of like, oh, how do I talk to them about that? Or maybe you have a niece or nephew. There's some helpful tips from Voice of the Martyrs and a true story about, I'm going to mention here in my message about this couple that's right here on this paper. But just some ways for parents to help talk to your kids about the persecuted church and what does that look like. You know, as always, parenting, right, it's always age appropriate, right, and where they're at their level to handle things. But it's a great resource. Or maybe you're a grandparent in here and you have a grandson or granddaughter and you want to talk to them. It's a great resource for you as well. But today I want to talk to you about Jesus sends us out, John 20, verses 19 through 21. But let me put this in the context. Today we're going to be talking about Colombia specifically, and I've got a video here to show you here, a short little video. There's areas of Colombia that are hostile to the gospel, and the international ministries, missionaries from all different denominations, and then the international persecuted church, they call this the red zones of Colombia. And these are red zones are controlled by Marxist guerrillas, not literally like guerrilla animals, but guerrillas that do guerrilla warfare, that try to take over and kind of run certain sections of Colombia outside of government control. And these are guerrillas. They're called the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or the FARC, F-A-R-C. And there's other paramilitary groups that help control the different sections of Colombia. And we know that they're actively persecuting Christians. And despite the danger, despite these groups that are taking, these guerrilla groups that are overseen in Colombia, there's faithful men and women pastors from the Assemblies of God, like we just talked about, the Robinsons, John and Christy Robinson are there, and other missionary groups from different denominations that are there faithfully preaching the gospel. But there's a risk because of these guerrilla groups there. And I want to start off and just say, you know, when we take the gospel, when we go out with the gospel, these missionaries, they're not super Christians in the sense of, they're different than you and I. They're just like you and I. The only difference is they're just being obedient to where God has called them. And you and I here today, we have a different call, a different assignment in our lives. But both of them require radical obedience and a radical desire to go out and to preach the word no matter where we're at. So with that, we're going to show a quick video here. This is a true story and about the Martinez family. Now, of course, the actors, this is not them. But this is a true story that just happened here in Columbia, and the Voice of the Martyrs put together a video for this. So it's a quick video. Let me go and turn the lights off. Thank you. All right. Let me get to the video here. And here we go.
Going to make it?
Barely.
They said five, right?
Tell me you were a pastor.
I am.
Your wife, her name is Gloria. And your baby Samuel. As you can see, I know everything about you.
And I don't even know your name.
Marcos.
Marcos. Would you like to come in, Marcos? I can offer you some coffee.
Talk to me. I know you also talk to my rivals. How do I know where your loyalties lie?
We only serve the Lord.
If you want to keep that up, you will join with the other pastors in the area and work for me.
If they are on your payroll, they are no longer pastors.
That locates me and not some other guerrillas. They would shoot you in the head in front of your family. Consider my offer carefully. We'll go back tomorrow.
Father, please give us the strength to stand in every test. And may your salvation reach many through us here in the red zone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My mother was a Christian.
I have something for you. Hold on a minute. Give this to your man and take one for yourself.
You think you will make me a Christian by giving me a Bible?
I hope that you will listen to God.
I will listen when I lie wounded on the battlefield. Then I will listen.
Where are you going?
I'm sorry, where is Marcus?
You know Marcus?
Yes.
He's dead. How did you know him?
He was my friend.
Are you the pastor who gave him the Bibles?
I am.
Can you bring more? Please.
Not like that, are they? We get to come to church, right, and pull right up. But that's a true story. Of course, you know, those aren't the real Martinez family, but that happened here this year down in Colombia in one of the red zones. And so that's the crux of our message is that Jesus sends us out. That's the theme for this year for the Voice of the Martyrs. But I want to talk to you today a little further deeper into this about Jesus sending us out. So turn with me to John 20. It'll be on your screen here as well. John 20, 19 through 21. We want to highlight today about being obedient to the call God's placed on your life. Now, many of us today, we're not going to go to Colombia. You probably may never, ever go overseas. But you and I each have an equal, valuable calling where God wants us to go today. He wants us to go into all of Siouxland, into those hard red zones of Siouxland. How many of you know there's some scary places in Sioux City? Woodbury County, I don't know many of you know, but Woodbury County has a huge drug issue right now. It's not just, there's some, here and there, but it's bad. It's bad, bad, bad. And it's scattered around. And so there's hard places of the gospel, but God wants to send us to those places here. So look at me on the screen here, or if in your Bible, got your Bibles here. In John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. And it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, now, look at this. So this is after Jesus was resurrected. The disciples are hiding, and all of a sudden, Jesus walks to the door. He comes through. He shows up in the middle of them. They got the doors locked, barricaded, and boom, Jesus comes in there. And he says, he came, and he stood among them, and he said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Man, isn't that awesome that Jesus came to comfort the disciples and say, hey, you're not alone, you're not orphans, but let me show you my nail-scarred hands, my side, that I'm alive and I'm going to send you out on a wonderful mission that transformed our lives today. All these years now, from then to now, God has transformed our lives through sending out his disciples. And so we can summarize the Father's mission here. In the scripture, when we look at it here, it's pretty much this. It's even so I am sending you. Jesus was sending the disciples out, and today he's sending each one of us out on a mission. One of the recruiting agencies, there's an indigenous organization that recruits pastors to go into really hard, hard places. The red zones and other zones across America, in the world, internationally, in the 1040 window where it's really hard. And so this is what they say. They ask the pastors and those workers willing to go. They say this. They ask them to sign a pledge stating the following: I am as right with God as I know how to be. And I want to ask us today: Are you as right with God as you know how to be? Second of all, they ask them to say, I have said goodbye to my friends and my family, and last of all, I will not run. That's a hard pledge, church. Think about that. Some of these missionaries and people going to these different zones of missionaries, they're pledging everything to go and to say goodbye. It used to be said that the missionaries of old, of Presbyterian Baptists and the AG missionaries, they would bring their coffins with them because they would say, I'm going to die in that country. I'm going to be there until the Lord comes back or my body wears out, and we're going to preach the word and love the people of those nations that they were sent to. But once again, I want to say that these missionaries are not super Christians. They're not doing something that's beyond us. They're just being obedient to the call that God placed on their life. And just like us, we need to be obedient for the call that God has placed on our life and the assignments where he's put us right now. And so I've got a few things I just want to talk to you about. Just four things. I want to talk to you about just four priorities. First is this, the priority of being sent. And once again, these are on our website, and you can download this, and you can go through all these verses. But it's the priority of being sent. Jesus came, and he stood among them. Jesus came because the Father willed it. God's priority is to restore fellowship with humanity. Jesus could have ascended and went back to his throne in heaven and been like, I'm good. But what did he do? He came, and he stood among them. He came back and stood among the disciples to clarify his mission, to show them that he was there with them. And so a few things here. This Jesus, I want to remind us, Jesus is the only and only Son of God, and that Jesus is God, and that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, we're not going to go through all these verses, but Jesus came, and his eternal presence came and reassured the disciples that, hey, what I promised is true, and I'm good on my word. I'm a man of my word. I'm back. I'm alive, and I have conquered death, hell, and the grave. Second is this, just as Jesus came. That second part, Jesus came. Jesus emptied of himself. We know that he gave up everything of his life. And he came and he took on the form of a servant. Jesus came back to the disciples to say, hey, I'm alive forevermore. But I didn't go back to the Father just yet, but I came to show you I'm still a servant. I'm still serving. I'm still guiding. I'm still correcting, calling, drawing men and women to me. And we know that Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. Even showing up to the disciples, we know what happened. Jesus came back, and what did he do? He reaffirmed the disciples. He called Peter. He called them and said, hey, you're still called and anointed, and I have a mission for you. And then lastly, he stood among them. Aren't we glad that Jesus became flesh and he lived among us? And aren't we glad that he was 100% God and 100% man, that he lived a sinless life? He paid the death and the debt that we could not pay. And so this, just for this opening verse, Jesus had the priority of being sent. Jesus knew he had to come to the earth to live a sinless life, to redeem us and to be with us. And so there's a priority of being sent. How many of you have been sent, you've known in your lifetime, you've been sent to do something, whether your mom or dad told you or you had an assignment from your boss, but how many of us know that God has sent us to places and to people? And maybe he's placed you at a job, or he sent you at the right time, or put you at the right place to share the gospel with someone. You know, Dave, you were just sharing about, you know, with your coworker at work. I believe you've been sent at the right time and place to share the gospel with your coworker, to be there, to be a light. And each one of us have been sent, just like Christ was, that priority of being sent to spread the gospel. The second is this, there's the peace of being sent. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. It's interesting, Jesus, you know, he came in, he didn't say, all right, boys, here's the things you did wrong, here's where you're lacking, and boy, I'm so disappointed in you, and here's 100 million rules you've got to follow. What did he say first? He said, peace be with you. Now, this word peace here, it was used very commonly in the New Testament time. It was talking about, you know, like when you would greet someone, shalom, peace, you know, peace to one another. But here, it's peace with God. Jesus adds this next point. It says, peace be with you. And it was, the peace would be with them through the presence of himself. Now, we know that those who are not in relationship with God do not have peace. They're living in life of turmoil. How many of us know someone that doesn't know Jesus, but their life is in turmoil right now? Their life is just, whether it's from physical, financial, relational, or whatever it is, from addictions or sins they're doing that are putting them in turmoil. We know that. And what's interesting is Paul describes a person who is not part of the family of God as the fallen. This is how he describes people that don't have peace with God. He calls them not righteous. Their throat is an open grave. Their tongues are deceitful. Their feet are quick to shed blood. Their paths are on ruin and misery. The fear of God is not in them. And the way of peace they have is not known. Paul describes those people that don't know Christ as, in essence, just miserable. They're on the road to ruin and destruction. But aren't we thankful that Jesus, he arose from the grave and he came back to disciples and he said, peace be with you. We need to remember that today that there's a peace of being sent. When you and I are sent out, blessed are those, you know, who bring the good news. Bless those feet who bring the gospel. And you and I are sent with a peace, and we are sent out to give peace to others through the power of the Spirit that lives in us and has renewed us and regenerated us. Third thing is this, there's the price of being sent. We all know those missionaries that would go, man, they pay a huge price. Think about that pledge. Could you sign that pledge? Could you sign that pledge and going? That'd be a hard one to sign. But there's a price of being sent. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, Now, what did that price? What did Jesus pay? What was his price? A few verses here. Philippians 2, 5 through 12. Jesus paid the price of leaving heaven to come to earth. Isaiah talks about it too, right? He didn't consider himself so high that he couldn't leave, but he shed off his eternal place next to the Father and came as a baby. We all know this, and we're getting into the Christmas season. We're going to be reading those Bible verses, those birth narratives of Jesus where he came and was a babe. Jesus paid the price of hate. John 15 says, Jesus reminds disciples, he says, as they hated me, they're going to hate you. Jesus paid the price of hate. Jesus didn't have to come, right? Man, he was already being worshipped, him and the Father and Spirit eternal, but Jesus came and took on that price of hate. Jesus paid the price of ridicule, Luke 16. The people ridiculed him, made fun of him. They said, who are you? You're just Mary and Joseph's son. You're from that backwoods town. You know, you're just from Nazareth. And then lastly, Jesus paid the price by bearing our sin to the death on the cross. There's a price of being sent. Just like these missionaries, the Martinez family, there's a price that has to be paid to be sent. How many of us have paid the price sharing the gospel at our work? Or the family member, a coworker, and they laughed at you, they ridiculed you, they made fun of you, right? I would suggest this. There is a price. That's a price we pay. But we haven't died yet for the gospel, you and I in this room. We're still alive and breathing. And so we can still pay things. We can still pay that price and go out and be a witness for Jesus. I want to share another story here. Edgar, and this is a true story that just happened here this year. Edgar and Isabel, they lead a church in Buena Ventura, Colombia. And it's considered one of the most dangerous cities in all of Colombia, even more than Bogota. The couple, they minister by caring for the needs of the community, which has drawn negative attention from the guerrillas who control that area. Think about that. They're out there preaching the word, serving the community, and the guerrillas are getting upset. Through Edgar and Isabel's ministry, many people have found faith in Christ and have been transformed. But this has only brought further opposition. Their lives have been threatened many times, but the greatest thing that happened this year, just this year, 2024, was Isabella was held at gunpoint by her brother-in-law, who was one of the guerrilla commanders there that were terrorizing the city. And he held Isabel, his own sister-in-law, at gunpoint while Edgar, her husband, was trapped and unable to help her. Now, through her brother-in-law, the people kind of rose up, went to the police, and the police initially arrested him. However, the police became fearful themselves and let him go, and he's back out terrorizing. And since then, Isabel and her family, her kids, have not been able to leave their home yet. And they're starting to suffer some chronic health issues because they're so scared if they go out, they're either going to be shot or killed or kidnapped and taken up into the mountains. And each of us today here can be inspired by that story. We can say, wow, Pastor Dan, man, that is some faith. They are paying the price of being sent. However, I want to encourage us today, you and I can still pay the price that God requires of us to be sent today. Here in Sioux City, Iowa, in Siouxland, in our different regions, there's a price that we have to pay, and I want to ask us, are you willing to pay that price? Whether you're my age, or you're a senior citizen, or you're a child here, or maybe one of our youth, are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to pay the price of not being the cool kid, or being the smartest, or people making fun of you, or telling you to shut up, or be quiet, or don't talk about Jesus, we don't want to hear about that. Are you willing to pay that price of ridicule, just like Christ took on hate, and he gave up his glory to come to save us and to redeem us? Now, here's an interesting quote. Richard Wambrand, him and his wife, Sabrina, they were the founders of the Voice of the Martyrs. And he said this in his book, his first book that he wrote after he got out of being in prison. He wrote this. He said, it was strictly forbidden to preach to other prisoners when he was underneath the Gestapo and the communist leaders and all that. He said, it was understood that whoever was caught doing this received a severe beating. A number of us decided to pay the price for the privilege of preaching. So we accepted the communist terms. It was a deal. Now, listen to this. We preached, and they beat us. We were happy preaching. They were happy beating us. So everyone was happy. I mean, we laugh at that. That sounds so counterintuitive. But here was a man and his wife who were pastors underneath the communist regime, and they said, man, we're going to pay the price. But isn't it funny? Even like I said last week, whether we're in the jail cell like Paul and Silas or we're free, we're going to preach Christ because you know what? We are called to pay the price. And I share this with us that if a man can be in jail and take a beating and be happy, and he's using some tongue-in-cheek here, how much more can you and I preach the gospels in our schools, our neighborhoods, our families, our coworkers, right? A lot of people say, well, Pastor Dan, well, wait a minute, my company or maybe what I work for has a policy, you can't share Jesus. Jesus trumps all that, church. Or if I share there, I'm going to get maybe made fun of. Well, Jesus trumps your feelings. and trumps your identity, it trumps your social prestige or your social media status. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus. Lastly is this, the power of being sent. The power of being sent. Jesus said, "Even so am I am sending you." It was no surprise to God that his one and only son would be rejected, ridiculed, hated, and then killed to pay the price for us. But sharing the message of peace to people around us and here in Siouxland, it's going to require us to walk in a power that's not always within us. And what is that power? It's the power of the Spirit that lives in our life. Acts 1:8, what it said, you will be filled with the Spirit, and my power come upon you, will be my witnesses into all the areas. We can go out in the power of the Holy Spirit and be a witness. And so, a few things here I wrote out. Biblical disciples are not sent in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. We go out. Jesus didn't say to the disciples, "Hey, go out on your own. Good luck. Make sure you find Wikipedia and find out how to do this thing, or talk to the Romans and figure out this out." No, Jesus gave the disciples the empowerment of the Spirit that lived inside of them. And remember what Jesus said about the Spirit in John 14. He said that the Spirit would remind you of all things. It would remind you, it says, the thoughts of God, which is the Word of God, and what Jesus had said to them. So Jesus gave us the power of the Spirit so that when we go out, we wouldn't be on our own. Secondly is this, biblical disciples are not sent with our own words. Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, when you go out, he said, when you are brought before magistrates and kings and queens, he says, just relax, because the Spirit is going to give you the words to speak. How many of you, when you've been out witnessing, you're talking with people, you felt the power of the word in your head, in your mind, you felt like the Holy Spirit's giving you a word how to speak or how to respond to someone. I've been there. When someone asked me a question about Jesus, and you thought, boy, that's a good question. How do I answer this one? Maybe if you're a parent, right, your kid asks you a question, the why question. You're like, how do I respond to this one? That's where you need the Holy Spirit, all right? Help me, Holy Spirit, to respond to my child. But the Spirit is with us and gives us the answers of how to respond to our culture. And Jesus reminds the disciples that when we are sent out with the power of the Spirit to remind us, to give us the words. And then lastly, biblical disciples are not sent out with a human plan. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, right? Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm back, I'm raised from the dead. Hey, guys, peace be with you. I'm going to send you out and see you later. He said, here's the plan. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them, making disciples. We have a very simple mission statement, a very focused, highly focused, clear mission statement. That's easy in the sense of we're going to go out and tell others about Jesus. There's the priority of being sent, the power of being sent, and the mission of being sent. And you and I today can go out. And today, as we end here, we're going to pray for the persecuted church. I just want to remind us of some things to pray for. As they go out and share the gospel, we are to go out and share the gospel. So let me get to here a few prayer things here. First is this. Here are things you can pray for. You might be asking, well, how do I pray for the persecuted church, Pastor Dan? Here's some things. First is this. You can pray that the Colombian pastors and their families who live in the red zones will be encouraged by the global body of Christ. You can pray for any. And this map up here shows some of the most hostile countries to the gospel on this map. And so you can pray this prayer for every country that's up here on this map here. Second is this. We can pray that the Bible distributors will be able to work in guerrilla-controlled territories without detection. We're seeing more and more across the globe, governments are being hostile to the Bible and those bringing Bibles in. We're seeing mission organizations, even like the Assemblies of God, that are using technology very wisely to get gospel messages in through electronic messages and means where maybe a physical Bible can't be smuggled in or brought in directly. So we can pray for that. Third is this. We can pray for the protection of Christian children in Colombia who are recruited sometimes by force to join guerrilla groups. Many of you probably know this, but their children are forced to, if you remember back in Africa during some of the wars back in the 90s and the early 2000s, in Sudan, Darfur, and other of those where children were forced to become children's soldiers. We can pray for them, for their protection. Lastly is this, we can pray that God will comfort the widows and children of Colombia, pastors who have been killed for their bold witness. Today, none of us have lost our child because we've testified about Jesus. But we need to pray for those pastors in Colombia and for those that are around the world that have lost children. We've had spouses in the Assemblies of God in the last couple of years. We've had spouses that have been killed for the gospel in our own tribe. And so this isn't just somewhere far off, but this is also home to those that we would call in our Assemblies of God tribe. So we want to pray for those. So with that, we're going to end and we're going to pray for that. So let's just take a moment and let's pray. As we close here, let's just pray. We're going to just open up. Anybody wants to pray? We'll take a couple minutes. And then after service, you can come up and get some of these materials. If you want to, if there's a country that's on your heart you want to pray for, just write on the sticker, I will pray, and just put it on there. And so as a reminder of your commitment to pray for a certain country. But let's just take a moment and let's just pray. As we start off this month here, in these next couple weeks, we're going to be praying for the persecuted church. But let's just pray, church. And so I'll start us off, and then whoever else wants to pray, let's just do that. Father, we come before you, and we just say thank you that you sent your son, that your son came with the mission to save and to redeem and to pay the debt that we owed and to forgive us of our sins and to give us a hope and a future. We say thank you, Jesus, that you took us from death and the grave and you brought us to life, that you've washed away our sins by the power of your blood. And so, God, we just pray right now, God, for those missionaries and pastors across the world that are in these hostile countries, God, these countries that are even close to the gospel, but they are going in. God, we just pray that you would begin to speak to them by your power and might. Give them the words. Help them to be bold, Jesus, in your name.